Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, 15th day of September. Good morning, Georgia!
Morning!
And a good morning to all you KISS fans in Brookhaven.
I'm sure there are quite a few.
I'm sure there are, too. I mean, this is Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, even though they were left out for many, many, many years. But see, Dave and I are kindred spirits when it comes to this, because we know that they should have been in a decade before they were let in, and it's just some little...
A decade?
At least. How you not...
A full decade?
When did that thing... I don't have the year in front of me. Whenever it was built... Okay, I'll give you the first couple years, but KISS should have been in there, and at least in that first 5 years of inductees, given they started making hits back in the 70s. And yet this dude didn't put him in, Jan Warner or whatever his name is, because of a personal beef he had with Gene Simmons. Am I right, Dave?
Well, Greg and Sam, you're pretty close. But,
okay, that's all. I figured you'd fill in the blanks there, but...
No, I was going to say, they finally got in, but then, you know, it took so long, as you said, it almost reached a point where I wish that they had said thanks, but no thanks.
You're absolutely right, and I said this about Dave, I'll get your opinion on this. I said this about one other person, and I think she might have done it. How do you have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and now that it's not strictly rock and roll, it's pretty much, you know, open
pop music.
Yeah, when you put
American popular music.
How do you not put Sharon?
Yeah.
Dave?
Another good example and a former girlfriend of Gene Simmons. That's the connection.
Ooh, I didn't know about that. See, look at this dude,
that's why,
man.
We got this guy. Ladies and gentlemen.
Go cut his grass. That was a good one.
Voice of your Georgia State Panthers, Dave Cohen, on the show. I'm surprised you're awake, man, after last night.
Wow, what happened last night?
What happened last
night? I know
night?
What happened, but what, did he stay up late after that?
He was late and just euphoric. I mean, we had people rushing the field after the game last. Georgia State don't usually have that kind of carrying on, man. And we had people rushing the field at the end of the game as the Panthers were victorious for the second time ever over an SEC opponent, 36-32 over Vanderbilt. Dave, what a night. What a night for Georgia State.
Sure was, Sam. And remember, you were sitting just to my left 3 years ago. We should have left Auburn with a win that afternoon as well, remember?
Absolutely, absolutely. Booed Bo Nix off the field. But a backup quarterback came to save us. Kind of like what happened at Wisconsin, right? The backup quarterback came and saved them. The Panthers would have had a victory over a Big Ten opponent. But talk about this happening so soon after what happened. You got to remind people what happened this spring for Georgia State football to really appreciate that win last night.
And I assume that you're referring to the coaching change?
Yeah, coaching change and massive personnel overhaul.
Yeah, Sean Elliott got the opportunity to go back to South Carolina, and that created an opening at Georgia State, and our director of athletics and our president had to immediately stop on a dime and start a coaching search, and Del McGee was selected. He was the running backs coach over in Athens at the University of Georgia. So he comes in a few weeks later. Coach Elliott left, I think, after the third spring practice session. So spring practice was halted and for a couple of 3 weeks, or however long it took. And then Coach McGee was hired, and spring practice was started up again. And, you know, in this modern day of college athletics and college football that we're in, as you've heard of the transfer portal. The transfer portal really got fired up at Georgia State. Players, you know, some players decided to exit the program, and a lot of players came into the program. I think when we were in New Orleans for Sun Belt Conference Football Media Day, when Coach McGee addressed members of the media there in New Orleans, the number was 48 new players that were on the roster. So, and there have been some impact players. That's always one of my first questions when we're talking about the transfer portal, who you lose and who you bringing in. If you bring it with regards to who you're bringing in, what kind of impact players are you going to bring into the program that are going to come in and make their presence known right away? And, you know, we had two of them last night on the final play, Christian Veyer, that 25-yard touchdown pass to Ted Hurst with 15 seconds to go. The Panthers went 7 plays, 75 yards, and inside of a minute.
Yeah.
And, you know, shocked Vanderbilt last night at Center Park Stadium. But you're talking about a quarterback who has been already at Penn State and Pitt and is in doing a fantastic job at Georgia State. And Ted Hurst, the receiver, who's Georgia State's top receiver right now statistically, had 7 catches, 128 yards, 2 touchdown catches last night. He's a Valdosta State transfer who's originally from Savannah. So you go back 3 weeks to the Georgia Tech game, as you know, and they don't play exhibition games in college, as you're well aware. You know, that night at Georgia Tech, that was the first time a lot of these kids had hit the field together and played together. So it takes a little bit of time to build what we call that football chemistry, and it certainly looked really good last night against the 2-0 Vanderbilt team. I know we're talking about Vanderbilt, and we're not talking about Alabama. We're not talking about Georgia or Tennessee or so, but you know Vanderbilt's in the SEC. They are still built as best they can to compete in the Southeastern Conference with regards to size and skill and speed. And Georgia State and the coaching staff did a fantastic job last night with game preparation and getting the Panthers ready to welcome the first SEC team into Center Park Stadium for the first time. It really was a great game. It was a great game in the end because Georgia State won, but it was even a great game if you're just a fan of college football and you happen to be in the stadium or you happen to be listening or watching.
Dave Cohen joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Dave, they say that game 3 or after game 3, you get a sense of what your team is, what they're going to be. And now that these guys sit here at 2-1 for the season, is there a way for you to describe the positives and negatives or things that need to be worked on with this team on top of the fact that we just started off talking about a coaching change as the season began?
You know, I'm sure if you ask Coach McGee and the staff, they could rattle off a number of things that, you know, that they need to work on, need to focus on. I don't think I've ever heard a coach say they're 100% satisfied.
Right.
Even coming off a big win, there's always something to be dealt with. And I think that you're exactly right about that. I had a number of people during the off season say, especially after Coach McGee was hired, you know, how good is Georgia State going to be this year? And in all honesty, my answer was I'm not quite sure because we are dealing with so many new players. You're right. I think a lot of coaches around the country, because everybody's dealing with the portal and players coming in and players going out, that you know, there's not that football chemistry there that maybe we had the last 3 years with Darren Granger here for a solid 3 seasons and all the receivers, you know, let's just say in this instance, receivers that were here and were, you know, were Darren's targets week in and week out for passes. But I think most coaches would agree that they don't know quite maybe what they have, especially if they do have a lot of transfers. It might take until week 3, possibly week 4, for things to settle down as far as that football chemistry and players becoming comfortable, you know, playing with one another. Ted Hurst, as a matter of fact, was one of our guests on our pregame show on the radio last night. We kind of talked about that a little bit. And he mentioned really 3 things that really go the furthest, and these are all kind of obvious. Number one is you can't replicate game action in a scrimmage quite to the same extent or in practice. But, you know, Ted said that they do spend a lot of time or have spent a lot of time, you know, this summer, once they got to Georgia State, putting in a lot of extra work on the field after practice. And then the other thing that he mentioned was the fact that the receivers and the quarterbacks will spend some time together in the film room. This is a film-watching group, as most football teams are. But, you know, the fact that he brought that up as one of the factors in them trying to build that football chemistry, get on the same page, I thought was a really good answer. So it's on the field, but a lot of it is in that film room as well.
Yeah. Spending time on the waitfor.com outline this morning with Dave Cohen, your voice of the Georgia State Panthers. He is social. You can find him at Georgia State Voice, a GH State Voice Dave, like you said, three games in and some good tests for a team that has been put together. You've had an ACC opponent, of course, here in town with Georgia Tech. You played a team from the FCS division, but one of the top-shelf teams, 10th ranked, was Chattanooga. Now you get a team from the Southeastern Conference. You get a week off before you play Georgia Southern and start conference play. Where do you think this team is right now? You know, I think it's been a good chance for these three games have been great for the coaches to have to evaluate and see where they are before you get into a conference schedule against the Georgia Southern team that got a win over South Carolina State yesterday.
Yeah, well, Coach McGee told us on our post-game radio show last night that there's nothing better or close to nothing better than getting a big win as you go into an off week. And I'm sure the players will get a day or two off from practice per se, but then the film room will really heat up. Practice will heat up, and it's kind of interesting, Sam, like you said, all of a sudden here we are, we've arrived at the Sun Belt Conference opening game, and, you know, start that off with a bang with your in-state rival, Georgia Southern, and you get them at home. And, if your listeners aren't aware, that's really kind of a weird schedule for Georgia State this year after playing at Georgia Tech. The next four games are all at home at Center Park Stadium, and then that'll be followed by four straight road games, three of them conference games, and then one, a return trip to play the Huskies of UConn up in Connecticut. But, it's going to be an electric night, I would imagine, on the 28th of September when Georgia Southern comes in. Remember that Coach McGee spent a little bit of time at Georgia Southern, including an interim head coach for one of their bowl games a number of years ago. So he's familiar with Statesboro, certainly familiar with Atlanta. And I think it's with where the two programs are right now, with Coach Hilton down at Statesboro and Coach McGee here, I think this is going to be hopefully one of the more electric Georgia State, Georgia Southern games that we've seen. And really, Sam, you've been there with me to just about all of them, and it's an electric game to begin with. But with where both teams are right now, Georgia Southern's won two in a row. They had a win on the road at Nevada. You mentioned they beat South Carolina State. Georgia State's now won two in a row with the Chattanooga win and with the win over Vanderbilt. Both teams are definitely trending in the upward direction right now. It's going to be a really, really good game.
Yep, can't wait for that one. That one's coming up in a couple of weeks, and it's always great when we get to play them folks from downstate. Dave, we appreciate you spending some time with us.
Yes, sir.
On this Sunday morning, and even talking a little kiss with Greg. We appreciate you doing that this morning.
Well, Greg knows I can always do that at any time of the day. That just comes natural.
I have something, and I might have mentioned this to you before. We're not going to do it now. But there's actually a song, a very famous song, where it sounds like if Elvis had a brother or a cousin, this guy is the lead singer. And I'm going to play the song for you at one point, not this visit, but I'll play it another, and I couldn't believe it. And I played it for Noel. I might have played it for you too. But the guy sounds like Elvis. And it was a song from the I think it was the late 70s. But it's a huge song. That's a tease. I'm going to come back with it next time we talk to Dave.
Okay.
So I want him to remind me.
Good.
Yeah, he'll look forward to joining us again. You can hear this. All right, man, listen, enjoy the rest of your weekend. And as always, thanks for getting up and joining us.
Yep. Happy to do it. You guys enjoy the rest of the day.
There you go.
All right.
Dave Cohen. Listen, we're going to go down to Orlando, Florida next. Max Van Auken, our old producer.
Let's go.
He is going to be giving us his thoughts and what's around the corner for UFC. But last night was the big night in the Sphere in Las Vegas. He's going to talk about that, UFC 306. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and take us with you on the Odyssey app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know what's cool about this, Sam?
What's that?
We know that there is, we don't always know, but every once in a while we know that there is somebody with a big smile on their face because they know that this is especially for them. Ain't that right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Max's mama knows that we are playing this, not the 100+ thousand people that are listening to us, or a couple hundred. It's just for Max's mother.
I know that's right.
Big
morning,
Bill
Mom.
Love his fans. Morning. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com. And that means Max got a big smile on his face as we bring him in here. Now, we have so much to talk to Max about. I actually suggested when we were talking this past week, man, you'd be one of the few people we'd keep on for two segments. But I didn't really plan on that, but I think he thought I was going to try to do that because he's been here before and watched us pivot. Like, he knows what goes on behind the curtain with the Wizard.
Right.
So Max said, let it be known that, no, I can only say four. And then, listen, man, we're happy to have you. Good morning, buddy.
Morning, Max.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Doing great now that we hear you.
We are doing fine. Did you reach out to Mom and tell her that we were going to play her song?
I sure did. You guys have got me some bonus points. She's listening right now, and I know she's smiling, so thank you guys.
Oh, by the way, while we got you on the phone here, is there something that you forgot to say to your mom last week or some little message you want to pass on to her? We'll edit it out so the audience won't hear it, but if you want to tell her something real quick.
See, Greg, this you know exactly how to just keep me in good graces with my mom. So, yes, Mom, we love you. We always love you, and thank you for supporting.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something like that, you know, I'll be over next week to cut the grass or something, or... But remember when people used to go to the parents' house and put the storm windows in?
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah, I'll do that no more. Anyway, buddy, listen, we miss you, and thank you as always when you call up and contribute. And, of course, this was supposed to be the biggest event of the UFC fights, not just because of the card, but because of where it was at in the sphere. So give us a rundown on UFC 306.
Right. I think you hit the nail on the head right from the start. It's not necessarily about the card. It was about the event. And just it's the first live event ever in the Vegas Sphere. And I'm not sure if you guys have seen the Sphere, but it's obviously overwhelming. You see a lot of concerts. There's a lot of bands that play there. But the first live event, it cost the UFC $20 million just to do the event. That's what Dana White does, though. We saw him do it during the pandemic. He loves a challenge. When everyone says you can't do something, he goes ahead and does it.
Yeah. Whatever happened with that Fight Island? Whatever happened to that place?
He did do the Fight Island.
Right. But
he did. Go ahead.
But no, I was just saying, but he did it because it was the pandemic. The pandemic's over. So is it just like whatever all that money he put into that place has now been ripped out? Do you think? I mean, I don't know. We never got an update on Fight Island.
Yeah, I don't know if it's ripped out, but he's like, okay, we don't need to do that anymore. We're global now, so who knows? But maybe they resort back to that for an emergency purpose, God forbid. But yeah, I'm not sure about what they do with the island now. But as far as the Sphere, he pulled it off. Now, I'm sure, of course, in Vegas, it's even better than what you see on pay-per-view. But just from a perspective from watching it at home, it was unbelievable. Between each fight, it was like they were telling a story of the Mexican heritage and the culture with all the fighting. It was unbelievable. So the Sphere was the show, believe it or not. And that's the first time ever, because he always talks about how entertaining the fights are. And this was the first time the fights were not the center of the event.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline with a guy we love catching up with, Max Van Auken. He is social. He is social.
He's been waiting for that.
You can always find him at Max_Van_Auken, Max_Van_Auken. Oh, all right, this is an event. And usually when you talk about UFC, one event takes place to set up what happens next. Usually it's something that happens during the course of the action, or maybe it's something that happens around it. What did we find out that's coming up next from this? Because that's usually what we always find out.
That's a great question. And thank you for that. I am social. That never gets old either. So three things. Two good, one bad. And it's not necessarily a bad, but Sugar Sean O'Malley was kind of Dana White's project of the next Conor McGregor. And so even though Dana says he doesn't root for anybody, he probably wanted Sugar Sean O'Malley to win. So the fact that he didn't win was something that stopped the hype train. Even though fighters lose and they can certainly come back, he probably wanted Sugar Sean O'Malley to win. So that was number one, the fact that he got destroyed. And two and three, we found out Conor McGregor news. So to take away from this, Conor McGregor is not fighting anytime soon. And his opponent, who's been waiting over a year or two, Michael Chandler, has an opponent with Charles Oliveira, a rematch. And the third news, and this is probably the biggest of them all, John Jones, the greatest fighter of all time, no question about it, is returning at Madison Square Garden in November to fight Stipe. So those are some huge takeaways from last night.
Tell us about, and again, Max Von Auken joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 929 The Game, 929TheGame.com. We haven't talked much about the winner of last night's fight. And in bantamweight title, I can't pronounce this guy's last name. I'm going to try Duvall-Ishmwili. That's
hopefully. We say Marab. We always just say we say the first name, Marab.
Okay, Marab. but tell us about this guy. And he, I mean, the guy felt like he just got paroled, and he was so happy to win, and just, you know, life was beautiful for this guy last night. I mean, we've heard plenty of fighters, you know, after they've won, say all manner of things, but this one was just a little bit different. But tell us about this guy and what's in store for him next.
That's a great point. Yeah, his energy, it's one of those instances where he's not necessarily a fan favorite. He doesn't talk a lot of crap where now he's getting a lot more active on social media, but he's just this talent, and he's that guy, he's the boogeyman. Nobody wants to face him because he does not get tired. So, you know, if you fight him, you have to put him away early. If you don't, it is just a very, very long night. The guy doesn't get tired one bit. He was running to the octagon. He was running out of the octagon, and he probably could have fought again. So I don't believe he's a superstar, and this is what confuses people. Just because you're really talented, you may not have that it. And so in order for you to be special, like Khabib, for example, didn't talk a lot of trash, but he put on a run of being unbeatable. And so if he can just continue to be unbeatable, which we've seen him lose in the past, so it could be hard, but if he were to stack up a bunch of wins, that's how you develop star power for a guy who may not have that it factor, who don't gravitate towards him. But as far as the talent and what he does, there is no question this guy is 100% legitimate. This was not a fluke. This wasn't, I don't know how this happened. No, he has put on a run like no other. And so I love to see somebody who just doesn't have to go the trash-talking route succeed.
My goodness. Now, Max, when do you get a chance to get out and actually go to some? You picked out one that you're going to try to go and attend?
Whenever they're in Florida, I always try to go. But now this year, the Sphere, I couldn't afford the Sphere this year. But the plan is that I always try to go to as many as I can, or at least like the MSG in November. That's actually something that I've circled on my calendar that I want to try to go to.
Let me just tell you something. It may not be ready for it now, but within the next 5 years, tops, maybe even three, he'll be going to those.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And he'll be traveling on a private plane. From what I know about Mac, he'll be getting out there, and he'll be doing it. Like, he'll be under the radar, but he will be that dude at events. And you go, oh, yeah, I just got back from Daytona. Oh, yeah, I was just out there at Wimbledon. Oh, I was over.
Yeah,
that's Max.
That's him.
Listen, we're going to switch gears here, and thank you for the UFC stuff, but we can't let you not talk basketball when we have you here. And listen, we got two of the best basketball minds around, with you and Noel, and I'm not sure if – well, first of all, before we let you dip your toe into something a little bit different – tell our audience where they can see your work and what you got coming up next.
Thank you. So to steal the words from Sam, I am social. So on all social media platforms, Max Van Auken, you go ahead and check that out. I most recently just had an interview with Kenyon Murray. He's the father of Keegan and Chris. And it's probably the most unique interview I've ever done, because I was able to speak about Kenyon outside of sports. He talked about his marriage. He talked about even his faith. He talked about life as a basketball father and some of the things that you have to do just leading the family. So it was really interesting to get a perspective that you don't always hear, because obviously we all love sports, but he really approached it as a person. And so I definitely recommend people, if you're a basketball fan, or like I said, not even just about basketball, and you just love just to hear a good person speak, Kenya Murray is one of the best people you can hear. Tons of wisdom. I'll go ahead and check that out. It's on YouTube, just under Max Van Auken.
And the last thing, and I'm sure Noel may jump in here with a question to get your thoughts on, but we haven't talked to you since the rookies blew up the WNBA this year, and basketball is basketball to you, men's and women. What are your thoughts on this season in the WNBA?
Oh, I mean, the fact that we're talking about it as much as we are, I think is such a huge win for the WNBA. And it's kind of mind-blowing to me to see people go back and forth and argue, is this person good for the sport? Is this person? You got Angel Reese and Caitlin. I've never heard so many people talk about the WNBA before. So if you're the WNBA, that has to be a win. And so now it's just about developing these stars, staying consistent and getting more engagement as much as you can. So I think if you're the NBA, you need to wrap your arms around Caitlin Clark, wrap your arms around Angel Reese, and there's plenty more, and just really embrace this, because this is the exposure they've been wanting for and just striving towards for so long.
I wasn't sure if you were going to jump in or Noel, because I was just going to say, he's around these NBA players who are talking about the WNBA.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why I was getting. I was going to try and get his perspective. Noel, I don't know if you wanted to jump in or ask him, are you too busy for okay, no, she's in the middle of something. I thought she wanted to ask you a basketball question. Anyway, but yeah, it just the conversations that you have, not just amongst, you know, your friends and guys and all that sort of stuff, but these actual NBA players, as they talk about Angel and Caitlin and things like that, must be really interesting for you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because they have that it to them. And I've been saying the word it a lot, but you don't really know how to describe it. And, Greg, I think I've actually heard you say
that's
this before.
It.
You don't always know what it is. You don't know how to describe it, but you know when someone has it. And I think that's, again, so many talented WNBA players. But these two people, and I specifically say Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, have that it about them, whether you like them or not or you think it's great or not. They've just gotten the whole world engaged, and it comes up in conversation naturally. You don't have to say, have you watched the WNBA? It's one of the first things you want to talk about, and I think that's a huge win for the WNBA.
Yeah, now I'll give you a prime example of the it factor, this dude who sits right next to me. You know what I mean? Sam has that it factor. Now, you can find one person to say something bad about him, and there's something about his character and his personality that just makes you gravitate toward him. And, well, he's a little blushy now, but I always talk to you about that, man. You got Max, am I right? Noelle, if she wasn't busy, 100%. She'd come on and say the same thing. And there are very
100%.
Rare people who have it. It's like cool. You can't define cool. You just know it when you see it. People try to be cool. Prince never tried to be cool, right? He walked into a room and everybody else went, yeah, that dude is cool.
Yeah.
Max, listen, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thanks as always.
Great catching up, man.
Yeah, buddy. And say hello to your mother for us. And we look forward to talking to you next time.
Will do. Thank you guys so much. You guys are absolutely the best. Miss and love you guys. And you know I'm always tuning in.
There you go. Max Van Auken. And again, just – pretty soon we're going to find out what he's up to down there because this dude landed. I'm just telling you. We couldn't be happier for him. And that's what's going to happen to that lovely young lady on the other side of the glass, too.
Oh, yeah.
She is next.
She's
this is next. Sam and Greg, we're the diving board for success. Anyway, going to let you know how you can find some money. It's flying through the air. New casting call. I know it's slow out there, but there are some jobs. And then I'm going to give you my favorite. All-time favorite top TV shows of all time. So we kind of pay a little tribute here to the Emmys, which are coming on tonight. Sam and Greg, 92.9 The Game. Take us with you on the Odyssey app. The things you hear when you wake up in the morning. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com on this Sunday, September 15th. If you were homesick from school back in the day, you heard this song. Because there wasn't nothing but stories and game shows on.
Yep, that's all it was on. Until Mike Douglas and Merv Griffin.
You know, it's funny you should bring up Mike Douglas, speaking of game shows, and I'll get back to this one in just a second. Did you hear that Michael Keaton is changing his name? He's changing his name back to his real name. His real name is Michael Douglas. But SAG, Screen Actors Guild, has a rule that you can't have multiple listings of the same name, so people change their names all the time. So when Michael Keaton started in show business, there was this, you know, this actor named Michael Douglas who was pretty famous at the time being.
Yeah.
Not only that, there was that dude, the talk show host, Mike Douglas.
Yeah.
So Michael Keaton Michael Douglas changed his name to Michael Keaton. So now that he is who he is and the other Mike Douglas is gone, he's going to be Michael Keaton Douglas moving forward.
Wow.
Just so he can get back and get his name back.
Okay.
It happens all the time. I've told you about the one with David.
But I mean, he's done okay with the name he's using. He's done okay.
Maybe it's his banker, his family.
Banker and his financial people will say, yeah, he's done. He's pretty good with the name that he's got.
Okay. Warren Beatty and Shirley MacLaine. You know, there's brothers and sisters laced throughout show business who've got different names and, you know, things like that. So, you know, David Bowie had to do the same thing. There's probably a reason why Michael kept the J in his name, Fox.
I'm sure.
Because that's a very popular name. So, yeah, this is all a Screen Actors Guild thing. But we came back with the theme song from the match game. And I did that because when we were coming up, there were very few faces that looked like us on TV. But when it came to game shows, there was always one.
Yeah.
And that was Nipsey Russell.
Nipsey Russell.
And today would have been his birthday.
Nipsey Russell.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
So it would have been Nipsey's birthday today. I didn't realize
he's from here. He was from here.
Okay, I believe
you. I think he worked, if you go and look at some of the old pictures at the varsity, Nipsey Russell worked at the varsity. He was one of the guys that would come bring stuff to your car.
See, now, that's why we're a good team here.
You ain't been in the varsity before?
I know, I've been in the varsity. I didn't know that nugget.
They got a lot of pictures up there.
I know that. I just didn't know about,
pictures of Nipsey
presidents
Russell.
Presidents or people running for president, obviously. Mm-hmm, but I didn't know Nipsey worked there.
He worked at the varsity.
So that's, you adding to the, you know.
What do you have? What do you have? What do you have? What do you have?
With that voice of his, too. But where else would you see Nipsey Russell that made you proud that I didn't know, you know, he had that kind of talent? Because you just saw him on the game show.
Mm-hmm.
He was the Tin Man and the Wiz.
Yes, that's right.
And
that's
sang. Right. Nipsey sang.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
Talented guy.
Happy birthday. Rest in peace, but Nipsey Russell there. All right, what do I do first here? And by the way, when we were talking to Max, I came up with a movie. Or if not a movie, something for Dana White to use as a title for one of his upcoming UFC events. I was asking him where, you know, what happened with this Fight Island. Now, down the road, UFC such and such, return to Fight Island. Can you see that? Return to Fight Island.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to happen at some point. What would you like first? Would you like my let you know where the money is, or you want my top five?
Well, tell us. The people want to know where the money is first.
Okay. The money is
flying
through the air. We have got, like I said, I'll just be honest with you. I've been honest with you all along. The negotiations that are still, I mean, they're like a block and a half from being done. It's just a couple little things that knees crossed and I's dotted, and the strike that was looming will not happen. Most of it's been taken care of. This particular one all falls under the Teamsters and the various bodies that come under that umbrella, right? So there's still a few more that are being worked out. But because of that, a lot of productions didn't even bother coming here. And so it's slower. And one of the things when people are cutting back, if that's what they're doing, one of the first ones that are affected is background, is extras. Right? Having said that, there are still a lot of job opportunities out there. And I drive you to 929thegame.com/castingcall. Or right now you can also see the current list on Get Cast with Greg on X. And so I've got a few here. Casting TaylorMade, they're in the second season of Found. And you saw something from the first season a little while ago when you saw somebody's demo.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll get back to that in a second. They need everything from cops to detectives to golfers, country club patrons, inmates, pedestrians, wait staff. That is all for Found under Casting TaylorMade. You go to Destination Casting. You guys watch those troops? Reenactments. I'm getting a thumbs up from Noel.
Yep.
Well, this one, this particular week, January's doing this one. You know January Curry. We've had her on here from Destination Casting.
Right.
They're in the midst of doing these right now. And the one that they're doing this particular week, they're casting for this week, but it'll air the 19th through the 21st, is on that whole thing with Tupac.
Really?
So they're looking for, among others, those who look like Tupac and Suge Knight. And you just go to their website, you'll see it. But this is celebrity crime scene reenactments for this particular week. You'll see it under Destination Casting. And like I said, they take these crime scenes and these events and reenact them. And they got to have folks that look just like the principals.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's under Destination Casting. Hilton Casting doing Project His and Hers. There are multiple needs for this one. This is the show over on Netflix. They need lifestyle show hosts.
Okay.
They need meteor. That's one of them hard words for me.
Meteorologists.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I can't say it.
Yikes. Oh, my.
What was that old thing? When I grew up, I wanted to be I forgot what it is. A radio in the era. Oh, it's a Porky Pig thing.
Okay.
When I grew up, I want to be a DJ. and then I also need a traffic reporter.
Okay.
Ages 30s to 50s, somewhere in there. And there's also, now this one is kind of strange. I won't say strange, but it's different. They got a photo double need. All right. And one of them, they need a Caucasian male, 5'11 to 6 feet, fit, toned, athletic body. Okay, cool. 20s to 50s. I've never seen this one before. And this is, these are both going to be photo doubles. So you're going to participate in the casting. You're going to get chosen. And then you're basically just going to go someplace and they're going to take your picture. But the other one that they need, the first one is Caucasian male. But this one, they're literally asking for one or the other. They need a Caucasian male.
Okay.
Or a black female.
Okay.
You don't normally, in the same breakdown,
no,
get one or the other.
One or the other,
you
right?
know what I mean?
Right.
So, anyway, you'll see that there, his or hers, under Hilton Casting. So, again, just submit as quick as you can, and then I take you through how to find the jobs behind the camera. That starts off with Georgia.org. So, if you guys got any questions about any of this stuff, you know to give me a shout at greg.clarksonodyssey.com. And, again, you can see the list right now up on Get Cast with Greg on X and 929thegame.com. Last casting call. People are still reaching out to me again 13 years after doing this. And by the way, I want to say hello to all of you who take my list and post them elsewhere.
Okay. All right.
I ain't mad at nobody. I mean, they've been doing this for a while. And somebody says, you should say something about so-and-so and such and such. Let the TV shows and the other radio places use them. Because it's never been about me, right? It's been about our audience yep. and the people who can get these jobs. All right. So we started the show talking about the Emmy Awards that are on tonight. And ask Sam, ask Noel, ask Gil Tyree. He didn't see his text. And then we'll see if David Archer has one. But give me your top five favorite all-time TV shows.
Wow.
So I have my list. I'm not going to press you to give it now, but if you want to, that's cool. But here are mine in no particular order. And I got a couple, actually, like Noel, I got a couple, what is it, honorable mentions.
Yeah, I got some honorable mentions, too.
You ready?
Yeah.
No particular order.
Yeah.
Hill Street Blues.
Okay.
The Sopranos.
Okay.
Sanford and Son. Miami Vice. West Wing. Taking those on. Now, the last couple of years of Miami Vice, nah, but I just early on,
yeah,
I was living in Miami or pretty much down in Miami when that show, you know, was going on. So I just had that. But you know what I have? And this is one of those when you're a kid, you remember these things. And I will always have a spot for a show that most of you never even heard of before, but Love American Style.
Oh, gosh.
You remember that show?
Part of ABC's Saturday Night.
Yeah, this was Friday night.
Was it Friday night?
It was Friday night, and I'll tell you why. That's why I remember this show.
It was Friday night?
I used to go to Awana.
Okay.
Bible study.
Yeah.
And it was Friday early evening, right? So I'd go to Awana every Friday night. She hooked this up through Second Baptist.
Okay.
I think Doc was there a couple times, too. But we go to Awana, do our thing, whatever we did, and then when I would get home, my mother would have dinner waiting. You know, and I'd get home like 7:30, 8 o'clock, and that was late, you know, when you're 11 years old, 12 years old, something like that. And that TV show was on. I just remember, and she'd make me like mac and cheese on the stove
right,
and all
right.
that stuff, man. And that Friday night dinner after Awana and that TV show was on, it just stays with me. So you always remember them little silly things when you're
okay.
coming up. So
okay.
Love American Style. When it comes to talk shows, I'm always a Letterman man. And then... You got to pick a favorite cartoon. Bugs Bunny is my boy. Okay. But I can't sleep on Bullwinkle. Because
oh.
Bullwinkle had some dirty jokes. As I got older, man, I found
you
some of these jokes.
Some of the things that were in there, right?
The stuff they were, Jay Ward was crazy. Actually, I think he might have been in a room next to Jonathan Winters for a little bit. But Jay Ward was very, very creative. And he's the guy who did Bullwinkle. And I'm telling you what, as I got older, how come I didn't catch that as a kid? So Bullwinkle ain't nothing to sleep on. But I always go with Bugs first. In the Looney Tunes. So, how about you, man?
All right,
you
got me. I got some. I'm gonna start with Cosby. I mean, Cosby, Sanford and Son, and then I go local, In the Heat of the Night.
Ooh, Covington.
In Covington.
Good call.
I like that. That was back, but New York Undercover. Something I thought that they gave
She's
up on.
Clapping on that one. Over there.
Yep. that one, and then I throw in. I'll go with Jeffersons. But here's the other one that I got my honorable mentions. A couple of things I thought were really cool and something I caught on to lately here and really just during the pandemic, I just went totally through the series was NCIS New Orleans. That was really good. Mod Squad.
Uh-oh.
Mod Squad. And a guilty pleasure was Designing Women. I actually enjoyed
really?
That.
Okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely love Designing Women. That's also one of my
It was like a guilty pleasure, but I love to watch this show.
Okay. What was the one before Designing Women?
Mod Squad.
Yeah. You see, you're talking about the original, right?
Yeah.
What did you say, Noel? I'm sorry. You thought you.
Oh, I was just saying that Suzanne Sugarbaker was hilarious. I love designing women.
I forgot her name. Sugarbaker, right?
Yeah,
she's
man.
She's up for an award tonight. Now, I don't know if that's the one, because I don't remember their names on the show. But Jean Smart is up for an Emmy Award tonight.
Jean, Jean was, what was Jean's character? Charlene.
Charlene, okay.
I love Jean Smart. Jean's hilarious. I haven't gotten to that new show yet, but I think that's what she's nominated
Hacks?
For.
Yeah.
I heard it's really funny. It's on my to-watch list.
And on my, I left one honorable mention out, and Oz.
Oh, I loved Oz. I should not have been watching it, but I loved Oz. Oh, fun fact. Pretty much all of those characters on Oz make some type of run on Law & Order or Law & Order Special Victims Unit.
They're New York actors.
Yeah.
They just bounce from one to the other.
And it's a Dick Wolf property. So is New York Undercover, by the way.
Right.
Did you guys see who is playing... well, there were two characters that came out this past... from Saturday Night Live. Minnie Riperton's daughter. What's her name? I can't think of her name.
Oh, Maya.
Maya.
She's going to be playing Kamala.
Okay.
I've been waiting on that.
Okay.
I've been setting my calendar to that. I can probably tune back in at midnight to watch SNL.
And then Edie Falco is playing, I think, Hillary Clinton.
Really?
Yeah. Now, she's the actor's actor. When you talk about actors, male or female, Edie Falco. David Chase has been doing these different interviews, and he talked about the length of The Sopranos, even though it was 12 years. It was only 6 seasons. But how they got, a lot of the actors got upset because they couldn't afford a year off.
Yeah.
And they weren't the type of actors who would go and audition because they were all typecast, you know, these Italian. But Edie Falco, they didn't stop her. And she was doing so. Remember, she's had like 3-4 shows since The Sopranos.
So. Yeah.
Anyway, listen, again, appreciate you guys participating in this. We got some folks on social media that have reached out and given us their 5. But anyway, moving into the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to talk more college football. Georgia goes into a bye week biting her fingernails and wondering, what did Kentucky expose? So we're going to talk about that and some of the other games. David Archer will join us. He and Wes Durham, of course, the voices of Atlanta Falcons. You can hear that game right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. But David, of course, we haven't talked to in a while. Get his thoughts on the Falcons. But there's been some quarterbacks in the news this past week, and we're going to get his thoughts on that. That is all coming up. Thank you for letting us be a part of your Sunday mornings. It is Sam and Greg on this 15th day of December. I did it again. I said December. September. Sports Radio. He's laughing at me. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And take us with you in the Odyssey app.